End of quotation.
And then Baha'u'llah goes on to call for arbitration, for disarmament. Baha'u'llah warns the kings of their downfall if they fail to heed his counsels. In that same book, Baha'u'llah also addressed the democratic bodies of the world, calling upon them to build that same peace and unity. He said,
O ye elected representatives of the people in every land, take ye counsel together, and let your concern be only for that which profiteth mankind and bettereth the condition thereof.
Isn't that wonderful?
That which the Lord hath ordained as sovereign remedy and mightiest instrument for the healings of all the world is the union of all its peoples in one universal cause, one common faith.
End of quotation. Baha'u'llah called mankind to the day of the one fold and the one shepherd, promised in the sacred scriptures. He gave to the leaders of men all the guidance, the laws, the agencies, the institutions they needed to establish and preserve peace on earth. So Baha'u'llah was indeed the Prince of Peace. Baha'u'llah also called for the establishment of a world body over a century ago. In fact, the Charter of the United Nations, the body whose primary aim is to establish and preserve the peace of the world, has certain paragraphs that sound as though Baha'u'llah himself had been the author of their charter. Yet it falls far short of the wonderful teachings and counsels of Baha'u'llah.
The same is true for the Declaration of Human Rights of the United Nations.
Right. Furthermore, those principles for which Pope John the 23rd received the Nobel Prize in his encyclical Peace on Earth are all principles of Baha'u'llah. Almost all of them are principles of the Baha'i Faith. They are principles which Baha'u'llah gave to the world over 100 years ago. Isn't that astonishing? In fact, Baha'u'llah addressed a message to the Pope himself and called upon him, the Pope, to leave the Vatican and proclaim the oneness of religion and the peace of mankind. Approximately 100 years later, Pope Paul VI left the Vatican on a similar mission without knowing the source of his inspiration and probably blissfully unaware of those words of Baha'u'llah to his predecessor, Pope Pius IX.
Lo, the Father is come, and that which ye were promised in the kingdom is fulfilled.
What a tremendous widescreen, full-color spectacle the story of Baha'u'llah's coming would make for the films, the movies. What drama there is in the story of the martyrdom of his herald, the Bab, by a regiment of 750 soldiers. The rifle volley merely severed the ropes that bound him and freed the Bab without a scratch. The story of Baha'u'llah's scourging, stoning, poisoning, exile, and imprisonment. Wonderful. The tragic suffering of more than 20,000 believers who gave their lives as martyrs in a few years. In fact, there were more early followers sacrificed in this faith in 2 years than in all the 8 long years of the worst persecution of the Christians by the Roman Emperor Diocletian. Did you know that? Nothing can match this wonderful story of Baha'u'llah for suspense, for drama, and beauty. And now we see that this song we heard at the start of today's session, They Called Him the Prince of Peace, is even a more beautiful song than we ever imagined when we first heard the chorus sing it. From Constantinople to Adrianople and to Acca, the prison by the sea, describing Baha'u'llah's journey to that land spoken of by Isaiah, by the Book of Psalms, and by the prophet Hosea.
Isaiah said that this spot would be, in his words, a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me.
And the Book of Psalms spoke of the city of Acca when David sang of the strong city, saying,
Who will bring me into the strong city?
Baha'u'llah, as described on page 79 of The Promised Day Is Come, addressed a religious leader, saying,
Lend an ear unto the song of David. He saith, Who will bring me into the strong city?
Baha'u'llah continues,
The strong city is Acca, which hath been named the most great prison, and which possesseth a fortress and mighty ramparts.
The prophet Hosea also spoke of this spot, saying that it would be, in his words, a door of hope. What are Hosea's exact words, Marguerite?
Second chapter, taken from verses 15 and 23. And I will give the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God.
Now that's really fascinating, isn't it? Abdu'l-Bahá tells us that this valley of Achor refers to the city of Achor. Almost all of this fulfillment of prophecy has stemmed from just that one verse in the 9th chapter of Isaiah about the wonderful, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace. And see what it has led us to. No wonder it's exciting to be a Baha'i in these days and to believe in Baha'u'llah. I'm sure that by now you see why it's not possible to give you more than just a small sample of the wonder of Baha'u'llah's coming as foreseen in all the holy books of the past. There is much more to tell, and you can hear all of it later. But even this one small study class of these days must gladden your heart and inspire your friends to want to enter the ranks of the kingdom of God on earth as foretold by Christ. The next two paragraphs from the Baha'i writings will help you to understand how impossible it is in such a study class as this to do more than just take one leaf from the tree of prophecy fulfilled by Baha'u'llah. First, From the Promised Day Has Come, page 78. These are the words of Baha'u'llah.
The time foreordained unto the peoples and kindreds of the earth is now come. The promises of God, as recorded in the Holy Scriptures, have all been fulfilled. This is the day which the pen of the Most High hath glorified in all the Holy Scriptures. There is no verse in them that doth not declare the glory of His holy name, and no book that doth not testify unto the loftiness of this most exalted theme.
Imagine that. No verse in them, no book, but that it testifies to Baha'u'llah. And on pages 111, 112 of the World Order of Baha'u'llah, we find these words, All the signs have been revealed. Every prophetic illusion hath been manifested. Whatever hath been enshrined in all the scriptures of the past hath been made evident. To doubt or hesitate is no more possible. Time is pressing. The divine charger is impatient and can tarry no longer. Ours is the duty to rush forward, and ere it is too late, win the victory. End of quotation. So this is the day and this is the hour. Baha'u'llah said to the Christians, Do not tarry at the gate. We hope that many of you listening to our voices will want to become Baha'is right now, right away, as soon as is possible. And that brings us to the end of today's session.
We hope that those of you who are listening will now continue this session and have a stimulating discussion about the prophecies you've heard today.
Perhaps in the light of this story, many of you who are friends of the Baha'is and studying with them will want to hear more about Baha'u'llah, so that you too may become followers of this promised one, Baha'u'llah, the Redeemer of...
It is time now to begin the fifth day of our study class on the dramatic story of the prophecies from sacred scripture fulfilled by the coming of Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i faith.
All right. Let's talk about some of the questions that people ask you. Perhaps they say, Baha'u'llah's name is strange. Baha'u'llah, what does it mean? And what about false prophets? Well, the Baha'is have wonderful answers from the sacred scriptures for all of these questions, and they're delighted when people ask them. When your friends hear the answers, they will know once and for all that Baha'u'llah is the true promised one and not a false prophet. They will realize that Baha'u'llah is exactly who he says he is, the promised one of all religions, the return of Christ, the Redeemer of men. So I suggest we get down to these questions.
If the people you are teaching happen to be Bible-loving, prophecy-loving Christians, very often they might say, Well, this is all very wonderful and beautiful. I love it, and I wish I could believe it. Why don't you? You ask them. They say, I keep remembering the words of Christ. Beware of false prophets.
The answer to that question is one of the most exciting of all. And this is one of the most welcome questions to Baha'is. Isn't that interesting? Christ did say clearly, Beware of false prophets. Christ also said, Take heed that no man deceive you. But, don't forget, those last words are in the very same chapter in which Christ speaks of his coming, about his return, and tells his disciples exactly how they can recognize the time of his coming. The reason Christ gives his followers such clear evidence of when he will return in this chapter about false prophets is so they won't make a mistake.
Christ made three promises to them so they could avoid making a mistake. When those three promises were fulfilled, Christ told them they would know it was the time of his return. They could be sure.
We studied these prophecies during the second day of our study class, and we learned that all three of those promises of Christ were fulfilled by the year 1844, the year of the birth of the Baha'i faith. If you missed that day, perhaps you will want to go back and hear the words again. Even more important, Christ, in the chapter of Matthew which deals with false prophets, tells the Christians exactly how they can determine whether a prophet is false or not. Well, who could ask for more than that? Christ gives his followers a simple, clear formula, one which they can use to determine if a prophet is true or false. What was that formula? Prophecy.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 19. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
By their fruits ye shall know them. Well, nothing could be plainer than that, right? You shall know the prophet by his fruits. If he brings forth bad fruit, he's a false prophet. If he brings forth good fruit, he's true. Know him by the fruits he brings to mankind. Christ said that. So let us see how Baha'u'llah measures up to this formula of Jesus. No messenger of God since the beginning of time ever brought forth as many good fruits as Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i faith. That is why his tree has not been hewn down and cast into the fire. Instead, the tree of his faith has grown and grown until now it has spread out its branches into over 50,000 places in all the continents, lands, and islands of the earth. Baha'u'llah's teachings bring a healing message to all men. Among these fruits are the love of God, the love of man, the elimination of all forms of prejudice, the independent investigation of truth, the pursuit of peace, the harmonizing of capital and labor, education for all children and peoples, the elimination of extremes of wealth and poverty, the harmony of religion and science, the equality of opportunity for both women and men. And these are but a few of the wonderful things which Baha'u'llah has taught. On and on and on go the fruits of Baha'u'llah by which you may judge him. Baha'u'llah not only taught these principles, he showed mankind how they could be established. Baha'u'llah wrote over 100 volumes upon all aspects of life. These books are filled with spiritual fruits to nourish mankind. It was a famous Christian clergyman, Dr. T.K. Cheney of Oxford University in England, who said,
"If there is any prophet in recent times, it is to Baha'u'llah that we must go. Baha'u'llah was a man of the highest class, that of prophets."
Why? Because of the fruits which Baha'u'llah brought to the world. Isn't that exciting? This is yet another of the promises of Christ fulfilled by the coming of Baha'u'llah. The Christians of the world can hasten to embrace the faith of Baha'u'llah, confident that he is a true prophet. They need delay no longer. It was not a Baha'i, but a Christian educator and scholar, Dr. George Washington Carver of Tuskegee Institute, who said of the faith of Baha'u'llah,
"I am so happy to know that the Christ-like..."
Note those words, the Christ-like.
"The Christ-like gospel of goodwill is growing throughout the world. You hold in your organization, the Baha'i faith, the key that will settle all of our difficulties, real and imaginary. May God bless, keep, and prosper you."
Why did this great Negro educator say that? Because of the fruits that Baha'u'llah brought into the world, that's why. A famous historian, Dr. Herbert Adams Gibbons, also a Christian and not a Baha'i, called Baha'u'llah's teachings a regenerating force in the world. Dr. Gibbons said,
"Taken together, they..."
The teachings of Baha'u'llah.
"Taken together, they form an unanswerable argument and plea for the only way that the world can be made over.
Why? Because of the fruits which Baha'u'llah brought into the world, the love, the kindness, the generosity, the understanding, but above all, the social justice. Baha'u'llah has written,
"The best beloved of all things in my sight is justice. Turn not away therefrom, if thou desirest me."
Let me give you a few more excerpts of Baha'u'llah's words, taken from the book Gleanings from the Writings of Baha'u'llah. You judge for yourself what kind of fruits Baha'u'llah has brought into the world. For example, Baha'u'llah wrote, "The essence of faith is fewness of words and abundance of deeds. Beware lest ye walk in the ways of them whose words differ from their deeds. Men must show forth fruits. A fruitless man, in the words of His Holiness the Spirit, Jesus the Christ, is like a fruitless tree and is fit for the fire." End of quotation. Judge Baha'u'llah by those words and by these.
"Let your acts be a guide to all mankind. It is through your deeds that ye can distinguish yourselves from others. Through them, the brightness of your light can be shed upon the whole earth."
The writings of Baha'u'llah's faith, his teachings, his fruits, can be seen also in these words from a book called Paris Talks, and from another book called The Promulgation of Universal Peace. Abdul Baha, Baha'u'llah's son, explained these fruits, saying,
"Do not be content with showing friendship in words alone. Let your heart burn with loving kindness for all who cross your path."
This is another fruit by which to judge Baha'u'llah.
"Show the utmost kindness and compassion to the sick and suffering. This has greater effect than the remedy itself. You must always have his love and affection when you visit the ailing and afflicted."
And just these last few fruits, again from the book Gleanings from the Writings of Baha'u'llah. These fruits, remember, are but a thimbleful taken from the ocean of Baha'u'llah's writings. Baha'u'llah instructed that the people who love God must, I'm quoting now, "be busied with whatever may be conducive to the betterment of the world and the education of its peoples." And in another place, Baha'u'llah writes this, "They who are the people of God have no ambition except to revive the world, to ennoble its life and regenerate the people. Truthfulness and goodwill have at all times marked their relations with all men. Their outward conduct is but a reflection of their inward life, and this inward life a mirror of their outward conduct." Quotation ends.
Beloved friends, these words of Baha'u'llah will help those whom you are teaching to feel the love, the kindness, and the sweetness of the fruits of Baha'u'llah's teachings.
Now you can see why the Baha'is are so delighted when Christians ask them about false prophets. Because Christ himself told his followers, the Christians, how they could judge Baha'u'llah, by his fruits. You have heard the opinions of illustrious Christian scholars, not Baha'is. You have seen how they have judged Baha'u'llah and praised him. There is an entire book, we mentioned it last time, called Appreciations of the Baha'i Faith, which lists many more, and you can study it later at your leisure. You can judge for yourself by his teachings about Baha'u'llah, by his life. You don't have to accept anyone else's opinion.
You will know that Baha'u'llah is a true and not a false prophet when you judge him by the standard of Christ himself. Baha'u'llah said we must have independent investigation of truth. Look into everything with a searching eye, he said.
You can read books about the Baha'i faith, or if you do not read, have them read to you. Everything you hear will make you love Baha'u'llah more than ever. You will see that Baha'u'llah has indeed met every test set by Christ himself for the day of his return. I wrote much about this in a book called Thief in the Night, pages 201 to 250, nearly 50 pages of proofs.
Ye shall know them by their fruits.
There is another thing that people often say when first they hear about Baha'u'llah. They say, Baha'u'llah is a new name to me. I don't feel at home with it yet. Well, that's not a bad thing. That is a good thing. Be delighted that Baha'u'llah's name is a new one to you. If it were not a new name, Baha'u'llah could not be the promised one. He could not be the return of Christ. So instead of this new name being a handicap, it's one of the best and most wonderful things of all. That's in the Bible. It's prophecy. Perhaps the greatest of the prophets of Israel, Isaiah, spoke of the day when the religion of God would be spread around the world, the day which would see the glory of the Lord. When that day came, Isaiah said, his people, the people of God, would be called by a new name.